67 today.
The red line out of D.C. a mess as two metro trains collide during rush hour, trapping people. 9 now killed. That's the latest in the death toll. At least 70 plus hurt. Various injuries from broken limbs to bruises and cuts and all that sort of stuff. But picture this, folks. And hi, by the way, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Sorry to open on this note, but picture this. It's rush hour. You've gotten on the train. You just want to get home. You know what I'm talking about. That's how we all are, whether you get in the car or you're walking down the street, whatever it is. But whatever your mode of transportation is, whether it's on foot or something else, you want to get to where you're going. You're anxious to greet the other people on the other end. But there are those people who, of course, never made it to their destination, still trying to figure out the National Transportation and Safety Board what caused this accident. The trains were traveling in the same direction. One rear-ends the other when one train stopped and the other didn't. It ended up flying, jackknifing straight up into the air. According to witnesses, that's what it looked like. One train then ended up on top of the other. Happened on that red line. And if you know anything about D.C., very busy, crowded area. That Langley Park Bridge is where they were. The intersection there, a lot of people jump on the line there. So they completely shut this down, obviously, because of the accident. But it was horrific to see what this looked like. And actually, somebody that I talked to said, you know, I think there was another train accident that happened there kind of around the same area. Was it automatically, we think, was it texting? Was it something else? Was it something more sinister? The FBI was out there. And that's the first thing I thought, not because my mind jumped there, but because I saw the FBI. But apparently they were just helping. They were in the area. They were helping, and that's what the deal is. So certainly my heart goes out to all the people and who were involved in this and the people who lost their lives, the family and friends of those that were injured or killed. It's just a terrible, terrible thing. And so many people commute in that area, and you know what I'm talking about. You can relate to this, America. As I described it, you're just trying to get home. You've wrapped up another day. You've taken the breath. You're reading the paper. You're listening to the radio, whatever it is, in your earbud. You've got the earbuds in. You're reading a book. You're just not thinking that this is the day I'm going to either be lucky to get out alive from this situation or I'm going to be dead. So, sadly, they're still trying to figure out what caused that horrible, horrible crash. In the meantime, we've been talking a lot about Iran on this show. Now, the latest twist is, because I don't want to just drop the ball on this one, Iran's Revolutionary Guards are saying, listen, any kind of a protest, we will crush you. Whatever the equivalent of that is in Farsi, that's the translation I got. So the police are in force big time. They're breaking up demonstrations over still the presidential election results, of course. They used tear gas at one point a couple of days ago, fired shots into the air. We talked about that heavy last night on America Tonight. At the top of this hour, again, just giving you the fill-in steps, the fill-in-the-blanks, so to speak, on what's the latest in Tehran especially. It seemed like I got a couple of Twitters, as anybody could actually jump on this, and saw what was happening. It kind of looked like the city was buzzing about like any other city, but there were people who wanted to gather. There were people who tried to gather in the square, and then, of course, they were dispersed because you got the security forces right on top of them, right there in the Capitol. They don't want any more demonstrations after hundreds of thousands of Iranians took to the streets for a week of rallies and a long weekend where at least 17 people were killed, although many think it's much more than 17, and I'd have to agree. It's the worst internal kind of violence that they've seen since the Shah was overthrown back in 1979 and the protest over Mousavi, the main challenger on that June 12th election to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the hardliner. And what's happening is Mousavi is just urging the supporters to continue to protest. In the meantime, they're calling for a ceremony in memory of those killed in the protest to happen on Thursday. We'll keep you up to date on that explosive situation. Here's what our president, the guy who didn't want to meddle, President Obama, said to Harry Smith on the CBS Early Morning Show.
The world is watching, and how they approach and deal with people who are, through peaceful means, trying to be heard, will, I think, send a pretty clear signal to the international community about what Iran is and is not. This is not an issue of the United States or the West versus Iran. This is an issue of the Iranian people. The fact that they are on the streets under pretty severe duress, at great risk to themselves, is a sign that there's something in that society that wants to open up. The last thing that I want to do is to have the United States be a foil for those forces inside Iran who would love nothing better than to make this an argument about the United States. That's what they do. That's what we're already seeing. We shouldn't be playing into that. There should be no distractions from the fact that the Iranian people are seeking to let their voices be heard. What we can do is bear witness and say to the world that the incredible demonstrations that we've seen is a testimony to, I think, what Dr. King called the arc of the moral universe. It's long, but it bends towards justice.
All right, so you heard the end there, talking about letting this play out on the stage. In the meantime, counterpart, one of our allies anyway, Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, has come out and lashed out big time in a different direction. Obviously, he's spoken up about Iran, but in this case, he's talking about the wearing of the Muslim burqa, insisting that that whole full-body deal is not a religious gown, but it's debasing women, and it is not welcome in France. How about that? Do we have a round of applause from that sleepy studio audience hanging back in Minnesota? Yeah, darn Donovan. I keep telling him to please get some coffee and some Red Bull for the crowd. For goodness sake, we got to give him some drinks, some caffeinated beverages. All right, so the French leader, to his detriment, because he's getting a lot of threatening letters, said that he does not support at all women being treated this way, that the burqa is not a religious sign. It's a sign of subservience, a sign of debasement. He said it many, many times. He's saying it solemnly. That's not welcome on, as he called it, the territory of the French Republic. Bravo for the leader of France for stepping forward to meddle, if you will, and in defense of these women. There are probably at least 5 million or more Muslim folks in France. In fact, France has Western Europe's largest Muslim population. Bravo. Coming up on the flip side, Obama's approval ratings. Where are they?
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop. Thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
A little old Barracuda, some Heart. I actually saw Heart, Journey, and Cheap Trick in concert about a year ago. Who do you think of those three acts? Who do you think was the best? I'm going to say Heart, actually. I thought Journey would be pretty good, but it was very weird not to see Steve Perry in that role. And, of course, he hasn't been there in a while. But it's the coolest story that the guy who's now singing in his place, he sounds just like him, but looks nothing like him, obviously, and he was a YouTube cat. So this has happened now twice with big bands where they went to YouTube and got somebody who sounded like the lead singer, and they were plucked from obscurity into the limelight of rock and roll fame for whatever that entails. You know, when you play with Journey and those guys still playing, they make some pretty serious coin because you look at their tour dates, and that's the idea. They make all this money touring and then sell the merchandise when they're touring. So for the guy who was on YouTube, the guy who's working like at a Home Depot, suddenly that his life has changed as he's making 50 times what he used to make. All right, speaking of changing your life drastically, obviously for Obama when he became president, that's exactly what happened. A lot of people didn't even think he would run. Then he threw his name into the fray. And the rest was history, of course, getting the Democratic nod, knocking out Hillary Clinton. So he's been president since January, okay, mid-January. And what do the people say? The approval ratings are still pretty high, but they've ticked down a notch or two. And I talked about this a little bit on the last America Tonight, but the Rasmussen report, what they do is they've got the daily tracking deal, right? And the poll for Monday showed that 33% of the nation's voters now strongly approve of the way that Obama is performing his role as president. 34% strongly disapprove. That would give Obama a presidential approval index, that's what they call it, rating of -1. So this is the second straight day that the president's rating has been below zero, and that's according to their trends. Like I said, still pretty high. So those who are politically liberal, 64% strongly approve. That's not a surprise, right? So do 40% of moderates. However, 61% of conservatives strongly disapprove. That number has changed a little bit from what it was at one point. Most voters, and I guess this is probably key for his administration, still early going, but most voters, meaning you and me, right? I'm assuming a lot of people that listen to America Tonight voted, or maybe you didn't, but most voters still put the blame on the economy and what's happening, how it's gone south, and we're almost at 10% unemployment. The numbers are so scary out there, and now the White House is saying don't be surprised if it hits 10%, but most blame what's happening with the economy on the Bush administration. But there are a few who say it's Obama's baby now. It's up to Obama. So the number of blaming Bush has fallen 54%. Why do you care? Well, it's down 8 points from a month ago. And it means voters are starting to put it on Obama. You're the guy. Forget about the last guy. See, I think the one mistake, and I said this in the first 100 days, is the dropping of the ball to people around Obama and constantly going back to the Bush administration. Who cares? If you think they screwed up, whatever, you move forward. You just don't keep going back to cover your tracks. It's like anybody. It's like any of us. If I accept a job and I step into the job, I can't keep coming back for a certain length of time and saying, well, you know, when you hired me, the ratings were crappy anyway, so I couldn't do anything about it. You knew that I was stuck in this situation, whatever. I mean, of course, give me a break. So here's what Ron Paul, the congressman from Texas, who has certainly gained in popularity. A lot of people liked Ron Paul when he was running. A lot of people like his point of view. And he was asked recently, just the other day, in fact, in an interview, how he would rate Obama. What would he say Obama has done so far? So check this out.
Oh, I think his rhetoric's pretty good. His economics are lousy. I think his rhetoric on foreign policy is helpful, but it remains to be seen because he actually increased the DOD budget by 9%, so he can't be very sincere about really bringing our troops home. And I think with the violence escalating in Iraq, he's not going to be able to fulfill his promises, although I think his tone is much better, and I think that's beneficial.
All right, so he was pretty generous about that and talking about certainly the Iraq situation, that he won't be able to fulfill the promise. And it's interesting he brings Iraq, because it brings up Iraq, Ron Paul doing that, because Iraq is declaring victory with the U.S. troops leaving the cities. Remember, it's out by the 30th, not meaning that every single troop is out of Iraq, but the vast majority anyway. In the meantime, you have a suicide truck bomb, and that's what Ron Paul's referring to, that he doesn't know that he's going to be able to fulfill that. You've got a suicide truck bomb that killed at least 34 people leaving a mosque over the weekend, while you've got just hours after the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, was urging Iraqis not to lose faith if there is this military pullback, if it results in more insurgent attacks. So almost all soldiers, because people are kind of forgetting this with what's happening in Iran and the various things that are happening here in this country, the unemployment numbers, the debate over health care, the debate over a zillion other things like the financial crisis. But remember, don't forget the guys and the women who are serving, because almost all U.S. soldiers are leaving the urban centers by the end of the month, which would mean next Tuesday. Under that security deal that was signed by Baghdad and Washington, of course, last year. Wow, the whole force that invaded the country in 2003, the whole force has to be gone by 2012. So al-Maliki is busy running around trying to tell people not to worry, but as he's doing that, it's almost like the violence is following him. There was the suicide bomber detonating a truck filled with explosives when people left a Shiite Muslim mosque. And that has to be certainly disheartening, because you've got all those people dead right there in the street, including women and children. And also 150 people were wounded as well. A lot of the houses, they're just flattened. There could be more people. that were trapped under the rubble of all that. They think ultimately the death toll might even be a little bit higher. So there have been a bunch of attacks, and Al-Qaeda is using some new tactics in all of this. They've got devastating bomb blasts that they'll just randomly pick these cities. There were significant bombings in May and in June where you had a pretty high death toll. So Al-Maliki, like I said, is I guess doing, of course, what he should do is to make sure that people feel as though, hey, we're fine, we're okay, we can take over. Don't worry about it when the Americans leave. But I think Ron Paul's right to say he's going to have to go back on that promise. That promise was huge during the election if things continue the way they are, because you've got, you know, you've got Maliki, who is a Shiite, by the way, saying that this was a great victory for Iraq over foreign occupation. But is it going to really be a victory? I'll tell you what, I'm certainly rooting for them. When I think of the Americans who lost the lives that have been lost, the limbs, the money, the support, all that has happened in Iraq, I'm definitely not one of those people who's saying, oh, you know, what a waste. Because I think there is going to be chaos there, but I hope I am dead wrong. I would love nothing better to eat crow on this one, because I care about the people that were over there. I care about the people that wanted to fight for freedom, went, you know, the guys like Pat Tillman, who went and didn't have to go, went but wanted to be there, wanted it to stand for something, cared about any 9/11 connection, and ultimately gave their life or some other sacrifice. So I hope that the 30th doesn't bring mass chaos, but boy, the things that are already happening, it's not looking great. Because you got to think of the flashpoints. We've said this before in the show, the religious element of the Middle East. And you think of the conflict between Arabs and Kurds. Think of what's going on with the Sunnis and the Shia. You think of, ultimately, how do they coexist? Well, that was the whole idea anyway. So let's hope they can coexist. Coming up on the flip side, I like to call it odds and ends. And usually once an hour we do a little segment called Odds and Ends to catch you up on some of the interesting things that are happening around the country. Sometimes sad, sometimes something that'll make you smile. Hang with us.
Not in the face, not in the face.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worried how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
About your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
All right, time for that quick O&E segment. By the way, I don't want to shut you out. If you want to chime in, throw in your 2 cents on anything. The burkas with Sarkozy saying, skip the burkas. It's a sign of subservience for the women of Islamic faith. And it's not a religious thing. It's a symbol of mistreatment of women, the degrading of women. So he's trying to eliminate that, saying, it ain't happening in France. You cannot wear it. Can you imagine? There's people that are up in arms over that. You can certainly chime in on that or any of the other things that we've been talking about. 800-259-5791. Okay, for this O&E segment on ATN, I'm going to rifle through a bunch of things, including if I take you to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, not too far from where I grew up, actually. That's an area near Hersheytown. You know, it's not Hersheytown, but it's near Hersheytown where the first chocolates came about, okay? It's a historic area. You have some interesting people near that Lancaster, Pennsylvania suburb. Some people call it a suburb of Philadelphia. It's a little bit further out, but the Amish folks live there as well. But one of the things now that's putting Lancaster on the map is none of that. It's the fact that you've got 165 closed circuit television cameras. They've got live round the clock, I guess you could call it peeping or security or scrutiny or whatever you want to call it, of all the streets, the parks, and public space. So it's a town of about 55,000 people. And all these outdoor cameras mean that there are more cameras in Lancaster, Pennsylvania than in San Francisco and Boston. Wow. So what's going on in Lancaster, Pennsylvania? And the government, there's no government agency that's tied to this. Lancaster outsourced their surveillance to a private nonprofit group that hires people to zoom the cameras, pan them, tilt them, all that kind of stuff, and then call the cops if they see anything suspicious. So with all the surveillance, I guess they had 4 murders last year. I mean, is this beneficial or not? Because there has to be a loss of privacy here. You want to talk about Big Brother? That's more than Big Brother times 2. And people have not complained in Lancaster. As I said, Los Angeles, people don't like it. New York, there's a huge outcry about that because in New York, the police announced a couple of years ago that they were going to link about 3,000 public and private security cameras across Lower Manhattan to try to track and detect and deter terrorists, right? And that network's nowhere near done from what I know. The largest, you know, how does this affect crime? The largest study that's been done was done at UC Berkeley. They evaluated about 71 cameras in San Francisco that were put in some high crime areas. They finally released this report a couple of months ago, and they found no evidence of a drop in violent crime, but they did find a decline in property crimes near the cameras because they didn't want to be on camera. They didn't want to have any video. So Lancaster is like this farm area, Pennsylvania Dutch country. How crazy is this? I'll be curious to see what happens in Lancaster. I mean, the whole town is 4 square miles around a central square. I don't know. Nobody's complaining. I think I would complain because they're not making headlines as a lot of crime. But they did have gangs and they had a lot of problems with robberies. So the idea is maybe we can just cut this whole thing out. For my money, I don't like the idea of having cameras everywhere. It feels like a movie to me, like we're in some kind of sci-fi movie, and everywhere you turn, there's a camera in your face. But then, if you're not doing anything illegal, who cares? Do I want... There was a movie that Billy Baldwin did. I can't think of the name. I want to say it was Sliver or something like that. And that was the whole idea. He was a wackadoodle that spied on everybody and had was right in their personal chili of whatever was happening in their life. And to me, it's just a little bit too over the top. Speaking of being over the top, as odds and ends continue here on America Tonight, Arizona's a beautiful place. Boy, I, for one point in my life, I thought, oh, it'd be so great to live here. Of course, I was there in the middle of winter. And then I also went back a couple of times for spring training to, like, Ho-Ho Camp Park where the Cubs play. And I thought, this is great. This is living. This is awesome. But then you go back in the dead of summer and you realize, wow, 14 consecutive days, 14 consecutive days of a June where normally you would have temperatures in the 100-plus arena because that's what happens. It's stifling the weather there as you get deeper into the summer. However, they've actually are celebrating the fact that they've had a couple of weeks of managing to stay below that 100-degree mark. And, in fact, in Arizona and in Phoenix, they're saying they're almost afraid of jinxing it, the meteorologists on the tube, because they don't want to say it's been nice, it's been great weather, whatever. But it's the longest stretch of weather like that below, just below 100 that they've had since June of 1913. Yeah. So at night, because it's usually so hot in Arizona, you can't sleep with the windows open. I guess people are sleeping with the windows open. Hey, nothing like a nice, balmy 95 degrees. It's all in the perspective, baby. I think it's very, very tough when they get into those desert conditions. I don't know how people do it. You have to have access to a pool. Sad story from Hollywood, actually. Her poster was one of the biggest selling posters of all time. Farrah Fawcett, what guy didn't have that Charlie's Angels poster? Even guys in their 20s and 30s know who she is. And she's had a rare form of cancer that she's been battling. And her longtime boyfriend, Ryan O'Neill, of whom they've had a child, too. I want to say Redman, his name is. He's in his late 20s. But anyway, she apparently is going to marry Ryan O'Neill. But the question is, how is her condition? They just did a special on her maybe 4 weeks ago, maybe it's been longer than that, maybe 4 weeks, and what it was like, all the treatments she was getting overseas, etc. So I thought we would let you hear a little shot of Farrah Fawcett. Here it is.
Now, you've never been on this program before. You were never on this program before. You were never on the other program we did at the other network. Is there any reason?
You don't remember?
Remember.
Just kidding. No. No. Why?
Why what?
Haven't I been?
I don't know. That's what I had just asked you.
Oh.
Yeah, and see, like I said, there was something iconic. There is something iconic about Farrah Fawcett. So I guess that this is, you know, one of those things where when it's all said and done, this was a long-time love affair, and they decided to tie the knot, but her condition apparently not real good. They're playing it close to the breast, and I don't blame them with all the paparazzi crazy, you know, wanting to know what's going on with her. She's in the hospital. She's not doing well. Sources are saying this. You know, it's so interesting in L.A. People must be on the payroll for some of these tabloids, like Cedars-Sinai, et cetera. How do they not screen their people or tell them, look, if you're going to release information to the tabloids, you're out of here. You are gone. Forget about it. But she's struggling to overcome cancer. She's in the hospital. She's apparently, her condition is deteriorating, and her longtime companion has decided that this is the time to get married. And he said this in an interview he did with Barbara Walters for 2020. And they're going to, as soon as she can say yes, I guess they're going to get married. All right, in the meantime, as we continue on odds and ends, and that's the whole idea of the segment, trying to give you some of the errant stories, all kinds of different stories that are going on. We told you about what's going on in Lancaster, et cetera. And obviously there we told you about Farrah Fawcett. How about this one out of New York City? 700 New York City teachers. I saw the headline and I thought, there's some catch here. 700 New York City teachers are being paid to do nothing. Yeah. The taxpayers are going to foot the bill, $65 million a year. So what's happened is hundreds of public school teachers accused of things like insubordination to sexual misconduct are paid their full salaries to sit around all day. And they do things like, oh, play Scrabble, they surf the Internet, all that kind of stuff. Here's what the scoop is. Their union contract makes it pretty difficult to just fire them. So if they've been banished by the school system, then they're shipped off campus to this off-campus office space somewhere else where they wait months, sometimes years, for their disciplinary hearings. You can practice yoga, paint portraits, talk to colleagues, hang out. They have summer vacation just like classroom colleagues did. They have weekends, holiday pay, all that sort of stuff. They basically sit there for 8 hours. 8 hours. They call it a rubber room, or it's really known as the temporary reassignment center. And that's what they do. They are paid to sit there and do whatever they feel like doing because the teachers collect their full salary, sometimes $70,000 or more. And I mentioned the price tag for that, $65 million. Wow. See, and I understand about unions because there's two sides to this thing. But it's pretty difficult to fire a tenured teacher because of the protections there in that contract. $70,000 to sit around and do nothing. It sounds tempting, doesn't it? But apparently these people go stir crazy, almost getting into fistfights. Hang with us. You never know what's coming up next on America Tonight.
I guess we know who's the teacher's pet.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. products. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
So far away. Look what the U.S. is doing right now in this situation in Iran. Some people think, though, it's not a bad move. Shockingly, our good pal Mark, who calls into the show, and you guys know he's a hardliner, calls into the show a lot here on America Tonight and always has. Mark said earlier on the show in another hour when we were talking about the Iran situation that he's even surprised, but he's agreeing kind of for now with what's going on with Obama and the fact that he's not making any declarations, jumping into the fray on the Mousavi Ahmadinejad thing, which ultimately the people are part of this uprising in the streets. And sadly, you had a woman that was killed and she was just part of a peaceful protest. And then she's dying in a pool of blood. Nita, her name was, in front of her father. And, of course, those images are being broadcast around the world, not through traditional means because there's a media blackout, but through Twitter and other sources. So certainly a very, very sad story, and that was just one of many. Who knows the official death toll in those protests and clashes with the police force, I'll call the paramilitary police force, if you will, for lack of a better way to say this, in Iran. The death toll was hit at 17, but the thought is it's probably a lot higher than that. So Obama decided to hang back on Iran. You heard that earlier. We let you hear what he said on that early morning, Monday morning program on CBS. But and said he's, you know, certainly it's the people and the people's will and all that other sort of stuff. But other than that, he's not committing to anything. And will there be a change of regime? Maybe not, because the, of course, Supreme Leader is backing the election results. And as we bear witness to what's happening, the don't meddle strategy in Iran is here to stay for now. My take on this whole thing was Obama really putting out the right kind of tone on the situation with the people in Iran. And some people say, no, the cost of not meddling is too precious when you think of the bloodshed and what it's meant to the United States for speaking out. But then there are others, and even hardliners, as I described, Mark, who feel like, well, you know, you have to look at Mousavi and what are we reading about Mousavi and would he, how much different would he really be ultimately? And the biggest thing I think that a lot of the Obama supporters are saying, when I say supporters of this strategy, is that they don't want America, the demonstrators, to be accused of being American stooges, and they don't want the whole thing to be perceived as America's way of getting involved in this as a sort of a setup. But clearly it is chaotic, to say the least. And you look at the situation in Iran and the negotiations, or at least will there be negotiations in the future with a nuclear program, possible terrorist leaks. We certainly know Afghanistan is a thorny issue. And right now, nothing has changed. I mean, at this point, Ahmadinejad, for better or worse, is the guy, unless that nation topples, unless there's a flat-out revolution and Mousavi or something else were to happen there. But how sad to see those images of the people just calmly walking down the street with signs, etc., and seeing the tear gas flying down on the protesters, and worse than that, of course, the sounds of the bullets and the crush, and the riot police are saying, look, we're going to fire tear gas, continue to do that, and live bullets into the air, and we're going to disperse any rallies. And that's what they did on Monday in central Tehran. They are told not to put up with this, and that this presidential election, according to the Supreme Leader, is the deal and is going to stand. So it was just, like I said, disheartening to see the people protesting and then to see her death, and this woman, Nida, who's now become this young Iranian woman who's become kind of a symbol for, has become a symbol for the people voicing their opinion that they're not happy with a rigged election. So are we on the right side of history? John McCain was the one guy who said he didn't consider it meddling when you stand on the side of principles that made our nation the greatest nation in history. But Obama's not going to budge. He's pretty intent on sitting in the weeds for now and avoiding what could be a clash with the Iranian government if things stay the same and stay as they are. We'll see if we get more word on what's going on there. I started off the hour talking about Sarkozy and the burqas and the fact that I have to applaud the guy for saying in France we can't accept that women be prisoners behind a screen or cut out from social life or deprived of any kind of an identity. Can you imagine if that were to happen in the United States? Can you imagine the outcry if any previous president or this current president were to say the same thing that Nicolas Sarkozy is saying in France, that, yeah, we want to outlaw it. Yeah, that's right. It's not a religious symbol. It's a suppression symbol of women. So we're just going to say burqas, not welcome here. Can't wear the burqas. And there has been a call by dozens of legislators in the parliamentary commission to study this whole idea of what the full body garment does. And in France, here you've got, for this first presidential address in 136 years to a joint session of the two houses of parliament, where Sarkozy laid out this support for a ban even before the panel's been approved, and not worrying, just throwing caution to the wind, not worrying what the critics say, because the critics in France fear that this whole issue is something that could stigmatize Muslims in France and would be disastrous. But I love the fact that he had the guts, the cojones, if you will, to stand up and say, look, in our country, in my country, we're not going to accept that women be prisoners behind this screen, be cut off from all social life, deprived of an identity. We're not going to stand for this, because you know what? The burqa is not a religious symbol. It's a sign of subservience, a sign of debasement, that it's not welcome on the territory of the French Republic. I love it. I love it. I love it. No matter what you think of Sarkozy, no matter what you think of the French, I tell you what, you just gotta say hands down, that is a gutsy, bold move, because of course he is being criticized and being slammed. You know, many women in the Persian Gulf state wear Islamic head coverings in public, whether while shopping or driving cars or, you know, whatever it is. In France, they've gone in this direction before. In 2004, they banned the headscarf and any other kind of religious symbols from public schools. So there was a big push, a nasty push, about doing that with the huge population of Muslims that they do have. And there are French Muslim groups that are warning Sarkozy about the dangers of doing this, but I love the fact that he does not care, and he's standing up for the women and saying, you know, that's not what it is at all, and I don't want it here, and I'm going to do everything I can to ban this. Bravo. Shocking to say that, eh?
I couldn't have said it better myself.